From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequencies shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news, read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says the electability of the new Corruption Eradication Commission chair must be accepted. Bank Indonesia call now the right time to awaken Sharia economy. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Firly Bahuri's election as chair of the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK for the 2019 until 2023 period must be accepted as long as the election process goes according to rules and the constitution. Yusuf Kalla, after opening the 2019 Indo-Trans Expo exhibition at the JCC Senayan, Jakarta on Friday, said the election of new KPK leadership members was carried out by the DPR as a state institution that has the right to do so. Yusuf Kalla also reminded the DPR is the result of people's choice, so that the DPR's decision is representative of the people's vote. Early Friday morning, the House of Representatives Commission 3 agreed Firly Bahuri becomes the chair of the KPK 2019 until 2023, after holding a meeting between the heads of faction groups in the House Commission 3. While the four KPK deputy chairmen elected by the DPR are Nawawi Pamolango, Lili Pintoli Siregar, Nurul Gufron, and Alexander Marwata. Defense Minister Riamizat Riakudu pray for the younger generation from Papua to become leaders in the future, both at the national level and the area of birth of Papua. The prayer, which was the same time his hope was conveyed by the Minister of Defense when he met with young people from Papua representing Papua Province in the 2019 National Level Parade or PCTA event in Denpasar, Bali, Thursday. The former Army Chief of Staff or KSAD also hopes that the young generation from Papua who are now widely spread throughout the country always remain loyal to the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. The 2019 Homeland Love Parade was participated in by senior high school students and college students from 34 provinces, represented by each provincial national level love parade competition team in 2019. PT Dirgantara Indonesia or PTDI will continue the struggle of Indonesian third president Baharudin Yusuf Habibie to develop the domestic aircraft industry. The development of the N219 aircraft became the successor to Habibie's vision of advancing the Indonesian aerospace industry. PTDI Corporate Secretary's Acting Officer Irlan Budiman at PTDI in Bandung Thursday said, Currently, PTDI is developing N219 aircraft. Hopefully, this aircraft can be commercialized immediately. Irlan explained, the N219 was an aircraft made to adapt to Indonesian conditions. This aircraft is designed to target small areas in Indonesia. With its sophistication, N219 can land on an uppaved runway. Bank Indonesia said that now is the right time to revive the Sharia economy, given that the economy can become a source of new growth amid an unstable world economy. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Rosmaya Hadi, when opening the 2019 Sharia Economic Festival in Eastern Indonesia in Banjarmasin on Thursday, said the world economy was currently filled with uncertainty, one of them because of trade wars that occur between America and China. The current trends in the world are making Islamic economics and finance a source of new growth. He said the Islamic economy is now not only dominated by Muslim populated countries. Rosmaya revealed that the 2018 State of Global Islamic Economy report shows that Indonesia, as the largest Muslim population in the world, is still a market for halal products in the world. Indonesia sees huge potential in developing cooperation among the geoparks in the South China Sea Rim. In order to support nature and cultural conservations, develop the creative economy, and promote the tourism sector. At the 29th workshop on managing potential conflict in the South China Sea held in Batam on Wednesday, Foreign Affairs Ministry's Director of the Center for Policy Analysis and Development for Multilateral Affairs, Dindin Wahyudin, presented a paper on several potential areas for cooperation, among them being the establishment of geopark network in the South China Sea Rim. Dindin said that the geopark network could be a platform to share the best practices for capacity building. The network should promote the role of small and micro businesses in the region and encourage combined tour packages by connecting geoparks in the South China Sea as an integrated regional tourism destination and market. The late former President Baharudin Yusuf Habibie made valuable contributions to improving the competitive advantage of Indonesian products, economic observer Andri Satrio Nugroho of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, said in Denpasar, Bali, Thursday. He said the competitive advantage found in the concept of Habibienomics changed the concept of the new order, which was more comparative advantage-oriented. Nugroho added that the concept of Habibienomics competitive advantage is still relevant today. According to him, Habibie was a visionary leader who had a high sense of nationalism. Indonesia is encouraging the exploration of economic potential in the South China Sea Rim, which is a strategic region in supporting global connectivity through cooperation among industrial parks. Foreign Affairs Ministry's Director General of Policy Analysis of Development Agency, Siswono Pramono, said in his statement on Thursday that Batam was one of the growing regions in Indonesia, which hosted more than 20 industrial parks. Batam is strategically located in a busy international shipping lane, connecting the South China Sea to other parts of the world. The island has also developed as one of Indonesia's gateways for the digital and creative economy. Business connectivity was among the main factors to choose Batam as the venue for the 29th workshop on managing potential conflict in the South China Sea held on September 11 until 12, 2019. Pramono added. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
Angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
prasetya pada segerjanya, apela tujuan utama. Penuh pengabdian pada revolusi, demi Tuhan demi Pertiwi. Sekali di udara tetap di udara.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Controversial Campaign of Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, listener, Israel's re-election to take place next week on September 17 evokes international reaction. Ahead of the election, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promises to annex the West Bank, which has been known as the Palestinian Territory, as if he wanted to explore anyone who agrees and disagrees with this problem. This also shows that he is not alone with the planned annexation of the area. The West Bank, as Prime Minister Netanyahu mentions, is known by the name Judea and Samaria, which are further the territory of the Palestinian state west of Jordan River. The West Bank and Gaza Strip are further the Palestinian territories declared in 1988. It is estimated that around 65,000 Palestinians and 11,000 Israelis live in the region. Indonesia and Arabic countries strongly criticized Prime Minister Netanyahu's statement. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs said that Prime Minister Netanyahu's promise is contrary to the international law and Paris UN resolutions. This will obviously threaten the follow-up of the Palestinian-Israeli peace process. Saudi Arabia views that Prime Minister Netanyahu's plan is an escalation of dangerous city tensions. Member countries of Islamic Conference Organization, OIC, will hold a special meeting in Jeddah to discuss the threat of Prime Minister Netanyahu on the 15th of September. On the one hand, Jordan views Prime Minister Netanyahu's promise to trigger violent conflict in the Middle East. On the other hand, the European Union says that it would not recognize any changes relating to Jerusalem. The European Union believes that settlement construction and expansion in East Jerusalem is a violation of international law. In contrast, since last June, the United States, through his ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, mentioned that Israel has the rights to annex the West Bank, Palestine. Apart from the strong international reaction, Prime Minister Netanyahu is actually facing panic with domestic political situation in Israel. After being re-elected as Prime Minister of Israel through the April 9 elections, it turned out that within the given deadline, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to form a new government. Because it failed to reach a coalition agreement, this would threaten his position as Israeli Prime Minister, raising sensitive issues in the campaign and evoking international reaction. What an attempt by Prime Minister Netanyahu to win the re-election. Even though many said it was like rowing in the middle of the ocean with a leaky boat. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome back to the regular of Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on September 13, 1993 about Oslo Peace Agreement. Peace Agreement, or officially called Temporary Declaration of Principles for Facilitating Self-Government, was agreed in Oslo, Norway on August 20, 1993, and officially signed in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993 by Mahmoud Abbas, who represented Palestinian Liberation Organization, and Shimon Peres represented Israel. This was witnessed by Warren Christopher from the United States of America and Andrei Kozyrev from Russia before U.S. President Bill Clinton and Prime Minister of Israel Yitzhak Rabin with head of PLO Yasser Arafat. Israel and Palestinian conflicts occur because of the seizure of territory. Each faction claims the holy land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea as its territory. The conflict between the Jews and the Arabs in Palestine began with the seizure of British colonies in the 1920s. The next information which is recorded in Today in History is about bomb exploded at parking lot of Jakarta Stock Exchange on September 13, 2000. Jakarta Stock Exchange building on September 13, 2000 was shocked by explosion of powerful bomb. Because of the explosion, the main lobby was destroyed severely enough and made workers panic to run out of the building. 15 people were killed and 90 injured. The explosion made the trade at the Jakarta Stock Exchange directly stopped. Only in 12 days, the perpetrator of the explosion could be known. And the last historical event is the declaration of the United Nations on the right of traditional people on September 13, 2007. Declaration of the United Nations on the Rights of Original Population is a declaration which was legalized by General Assembly of the United Nations in the 61st session in New York on September 13, 2007. The declaration underlined the rights of individual and collective of natives and their rights on culture, identity, language, job, health, education, and other issues. The declaration also emphasized their rights to maintain and strengthen institution, culture, and tradition, and their rights on development to fulfill their need and aspiration. The declaration also prohibited discrimination on natives and improved their participation fully and effectively in all things which involve their problems and their rights to be still different and to seek vision of their own economic and social development. Although the declaration is not legally binding, the declaration describes dynamic development of norm of international law and reflects commitment of member countries of the United Nations to move to certain direction. The United Nations describes it as important standard for treatment against natives around the world, which certainly will become important tools in eradicating violation of the human rights against 370 million natives in the world and help them to fight against discrimination and marginalization. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Menyimpan kekaguman ini padamu di saat sudah ada dia yang beri senyuman di hari-harimu. Bukan salahku cinta hadir tak menentu. Lawan semua.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Crafts Industry Export Achieves $870 million. In commemoration of the 39th anniversary, the National Crafts Council or Dekranas held the 2019 Kriya Nusa Crafts Exhibition, which took place 11 up to 15th September 2019 in Jakarta, with the theme Increasing Competitiveness of Handicraft Products Through Developing Creativity and Entrepreneurship. This activity was opened by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo and General Chairperson of National Craft Council, who was also the mother of National Handicraft, Mufida Yusuf Kala, on Tuesday. The Kriya Nusa exhibition annually carries different regional of archipelago icons. And this year's icon of Kriya Nusa is West Sumatra. The annual exhibition displays handicraft products with better quality, so that Indonesian handicraft products are increasingly known in the world. The Ministry of Industry noted, the export value of national handicraft products reached $870 million during 2018, with the main destination countries including the United States, Japan, the Netherlands, Britain, Singapore, and Germany. That was said by Director General of Small, Medium, and Various Industries, Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsih, when attending the opening of the 2019 Kriya Nusa exhibition on Tuesday. Gati explained, the number of handicraft industries in Indonesia currently reach more than 700,000 business units by observing 1.32 million manpowers. Regarding the potential of the national handicraft industry, Gati is optimistic that the export value of its products will increase along with improvements, starting from the aspect of product quality to design and packaging. This effort is in line with the use of technology and the development of human resource competencies. According to Gati, the craft sector is one of the creative industry groups, which currently has an extensive market network at the international level. Therefore, the Ministry of Industry continues to actively promote national handicraft products through various exhibitions held at home or abroad, such as the Kriya Nusa Craft Exhibition. Through the 2019 Kriya Nusa exhibition, the National Craft Council provides space for Indonesian craftsmen to display their superior products. Gati hopes that the Kriya Nusa exhibition can educate the participants and stimulate their understanding in actively and comprehensively promoting handicraft products. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kuatkan dirimu, tak pernah menyerah, berani melangkah, percaya tangismu dan perjuanganmu akan jadi kisah terbaik.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I present Lengger Dance to you from Banyumas region. Directorate General of Culture of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture has determined the Lengger Dance of Banyumas as Indonesia's Intangible Cultural Heritage 2019. The traditional art was proposed by the Youth Sport Culture and Tourism of Banyumas Regency since 2018. Head of the Tradition Values Section, the Youth Sport Culture and Tourism Banyumas Office, Mispan, said the Lengger Dance is a cultural identity that has unique values and traditions that are still alive. The actors of the Lengger art need to be preserved and further developed. Today, citizen of the Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to the Banyumas Lengger Dance. Lengger dance is played by a man and woman. Lengger comes from the word le, that means sun, and the word ger, which means crowd. Because in the past, there were a lot of male audiences who attended in every performance of Lengger dance. The dance used to be assumed negatively, because the motion and performance of the dance was assumed to trigger libido. However, the dance was changed by Sunan Kalijaga as a means of Islamic teaching and inserted the doctrine to always remember God Almighty. Therefore, many people said the word Lengger is taken from Eling, that means remember, and Ger means Na, for calling boy. So Lengger completely means Ingatlah Na, namely a calling to remember the Almighty God. In the dance, there are some rounds. While dancing, the movement of Lengger dance is dominated by hip movement, so it looks adorable, following the typical rhythmed and Banyumasan rhythm that is agile and dynamic. In one round, a female dancer invites male audience to dance by using sampur or shawl. During the show, Lengger dance is accompanied by traditional music of gamelan called calung. The main musical instrument of calung is made from bambu wulung or black kiss purple bamboo, kernong, gambang, gong, kendang, and other several traditional musical instruments. During the music played, a sinden presents some songs. The costume of the female dancer usually use kemben, kain jarit, crown, and shawl. For male dancers, usually use long shirt or vest, knee-high pants, jarit clothes, headband, and mask. That was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition titled Lengger Dance from Banyumas. Thanks for listening.
kecewa melandamu. Ku ingin hilang sebentar saja, tapi ku tak bisa lakukan itu. Aku tertahan rasa sayang. Maafkanlah ku lupa diri. Hanya kamu yang buat aku luluh selamanya begitu. Takkan pernah ada jenuh karena hatimu
listen to the third pop song, and for next segment we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today we will inform you about earthquake victim evacuation tool Dioterions by Brawijaya University. Stay tuned. The Twitter account of the English language television news station Al Jazeera English tweeted about the recent finding of Brawijaya University students. The finding is in the form of a disaster preparedness tool called Dioterions, or detector of interconnected position points. The account informed his followers that this tiny device created by Indonesian students can save life from earthquakes with the only $7. Dioterions are cards that aim to facilitate the discovery of the position of victims buried by the collapse of a building post-earthquake. Dioterions is invented by three students of the Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences of Brawijaya University. Located in the southeast, Asian seismic zone, Indonesia has the potential to experience an earthquake. This is the background of the three students who discover deuterions. This tool functions to emit radio wave that can be captured by victim search receivers such as the SAR team, so that the position of the users of deuterions can be known even though the building is in a collapsed state. This card is equipped with a button that is able to read movement so that the user's life opportunity can be predicted. The cards are also connected to each other, so the position of other users can be known from one user that has been found first. All information will be displayed on a special smartphone application in the form of a list so that it makes reading easier. One member of discovering team, Muhammad Rikza Maulana, said that SAR teams usually use heavy equipment and life detector to search for victims. However, heavy equipment cannot be used in the search for fatalities whose position is not known with certainty, because if one predicts, it can potentially increase the damage to organs of victims who have been buried by the debris of collapsed buildings. That was Miss Lenny for today. Thank you for listening.
Kepadamu, sembilan puluh sembilan persen jatuh cinta. Ku menunggu karena tak ada cinta itu dari. Agar ku yakin 100% padamu. Maaf kau terlalu lama menunggu. Bukan ku sengaja ingin.
1%, kurang 1%, kurang 1%.
Jalani setiap hari bersama, lalu ku jadi suka. Awalnya biasa, tapi lama-lama cuma ada biasa, tapi lama-lama ku selalu menunggu pesan dari kamu. Mungkin karena kita terbiasa jalani setiap hari bersama, lalu ku jatuh cinta.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from West Kalimantan entitled Cik Cik Periuk. The composer of the song Cik Cik Periuk is unknown. According to Sambas people, the song was composed by Dayak people. The song, which has been existed for 150 years has a meaning on innuendo of Sambas people to outside people who come to Sambas. The word chik-chik means sound of pot, while periuk, or in English means pot, is a kitchen equipment which is made from metal or clay that is used to cook rice. The sentence chak-chak bur dalam belanga means that all things in life have been very busy, like in a pan which has been mixed all of the things. It's said that a lot of people are busy with the word businesses and forget hereafter. While the sentence idong picak gigi rongak means that there are still poor people. Sapek ketawa dolok dipancung raja tunggal. The sentence means that who laughs when seeing ugly people is that he or she will be punished by Raja Tunggal because he or she insults the god's creations. Raja Tunggal means the god. Here is Chik Chik Periuk.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.
From Jakarta, here is The Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via onenews.id.